Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Bring in show music, please.
Hi, I'm CNBC producer Katie Kramer. Today on Squawk Pod. A big deal in your wallet, Capital One, set to acquire Discover.
I can't tell you about Discover's advertising campaign.
Because you don't see it.
I'm sick of Capital One's.
The White House is making a big bet on chipmaker Global Foundries, director of the National Economic Council, Lael Brainard, on U.S. industry and the U.S. economy.
The broader picture, I think, is encouraging, but I'll say one thing, which is we got a lot of work still to do. Some prices are still too high.
And a big fundraising push from President Biden, Axios co-founder Mike Allen, with the two big issues he's watching before November.
That State of the Union, it's the biggest thing that President Biden controls by far. The other one that no one controls, a Supreme Court ruling on whether or not the Trump trials go ahead and how quickly those go ahead.
Those stories, plus crude price up, and so is Bitcoin.
Just asking the question.
It's up 100% just in the last 6 weeks.
It's Tuesday, February 20th, 2024. Squawk Pod begins right now.
Stand Andrew by in 3, 2, 1, cue Andrew.
Good morning and welcome back to Squawk Box right here on CNBC. We're live at the NASDAQ market site in Times Square. I'm Andrew Ross Sorkin along with Joe Kernan, and it's just the boys today. Becky is off. Let's talk about this big news that has been breaking in the financial world. Capital One Financial buying Discovery, or I should say Discover Financial Services, in a $35.3 billion all-stock deal. Discover share. I keep calling it Discovery because I think of Warner Brothers. Discover shareholders would receive 1.02 Capital One shares for each Discover share, or about a 26% premium from Discover's closing price on Friday. After the deal closes, Capital One shareholders would hold 60%, and then Discover shareholders would hold 40% of the combined company. The Journal saying that Capital One plans to keep the Discover brand, and we're going to talk to an analyst about the deal in a few minutes. It would be probably one of the largest on Wall Street in many, many years, and I would argue could create and would be a very good thing, actually, to create some real competition with MasterCard and Visa and, to some extent, American Express. Discover has a huge network, but has been sort of one of those great under-leveraged networks for a long time. Capital One, a massive business. By the way, they also issue credit cards on MasterCard and Visa. The question, of course, is whether Alina Khan or Department of Justice is going to like a deal like this, and what the Treasury Department's going to
think about it.
They don't like any deals.
That's what I thought. But this, if you're right about that, could you see her taking your viewpoint, or just no matter what, it's bad?
I don't know. Look, if this has been a deal that people have talked about being a natural deal for a very, very, very long time. Discover shares came down and sort of struggled. That's what sort of allowed this whole situation to happen. They've had their own regulatory issues. That's sort of what led to both of these stocks, actually, had some profit falls recently and some other issues. But it's an interesting deal.
I don't even know who has a Discover card at this point. Do you have one?
I do not have a Discover card.
That's one of the problems. I've never seen a need to have a...
If you could build that network out, if you could really build the network out and put the marketing muscle, Capital One, behind it.
Well, by the way, marketing muscle is what I can't tell you about Discover's advertising campaign.
Because you don't see it.
I'm sick of Capital One's advertising campaign. You're inundated with what's in your wallet, from Jennifer Garner to Samuel L. to so many people.
But if you could take all of that marketing and throw that behind
both of them. I tried hard to get excited about this deal, Andrew, and I said, you know what? I'm going to let Andrew get excited about it.
It's exciting. I mean, the question is whether the Treasury Department
would allow it. You have to be excited enough for both of us.
I will be excited for both of us. I wonder how excited or not Warren Buffett is today, because he owns about 3%.
If it was Discovery, I would think it was really interesting.
I know.
But it's not.
but it's not. It's
so,
not.
So you think Warren's excited?
Well, no, Warren is, I think, the sixth or seventh largest shareholder of Capital One.
Yeah.
So this is for the
You know why I love Warren? Because it's not age, it's the odometer, I think. Right? It has nothing to do with age. No one would ever say Warren Buffett is anything except brilliant and still plugging away. Same with Charlie Munger right to the end. I'm not making any point. I'm just saying that chronological age, maybe I'm making my own case. What are we talking about again? No, my own case probably not so good. The Biden administration announcing it will give chip maker Global Foundries roughly $3.1 billion in grants and loans to build a new advanced chip factory in upstate New York and expand existing spaces in New York and Vermont. The funding is expected to provide a boost to Global Foundries clients, General Motors and Lockheed Martin, as well as other companies in the auto and defense sector. This is the largest CHIPS Act award to date. Also offers a hint at the size of potential awards for Intel, Micron, and TSMC. Those announcements are expected in the coming weeks. The price of Bitcoin has been right around $52,000 for most of
people.
People
say it's consolidating.
What is?
At $52,000.
Yeah,
is it?
I mean, it was. We were asking whether it was consolidating at 26 about 6 weeks ago.
Just asking the question.
It's up 100% just in the last 6 weeks. And then, remember, it was 49 when the ETF got approved, went down to 42. And that was where I was saying maybe it's going to be usable as, you know, if it were to just stabilize at 42. Now 52. I saw someone say 100 by the end of the year. Someone that I think is pretty smart. I don't remember who it was. Did you see that? Someone said 100,000 by the end of the year.
It could. I mean, who knows?
Oh, yeah.
We've had people say it's $500,000, $1 million, but it is, at some level, it's still a speculation. That's what it is.
Like everything we talk about every day. Mm. Now, some stocks are even worse.
Hopefully less so, but who knows?
Yeah. Some stocks are Netflix, 700 to 150. I mean, take your pick.
Let's talk crude prices.
Crude prices trading near, now those, you could use those as currency. They've been pretty stable. But they're near a three-month high, 78.87. That comes after another attack on a ship in the Red Sea. Houthi strikes forced a crew to abandon ships for the first time since these attacks began late last year. Two anti-ballistic missiles damaged the Rubimar on Sunday evening. U.S. officials said a coalition warship and another merchant ship responded to its distress call. And the Rubimar's crew were transported to a nearby port. A Houthi spokesman said the attack resulted in the ship's complete sinking, but that could not be verified independently. Big piece on 60 Minutes last night. I don't know if
you saw it.
Yeah.
I'm more worried about what's happening in space with Russia. We haven't talked about that yet.
Yeah. I'm not sure I worry about a zap on a pulse on our grid.
Think about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but by the way, that pulse could also happen on the grid. It could happen in the satellite. I mean,
right.
Either one would do the same, you know, create a lot of big problems. Big, big problems.
Right. And we've heard about it in a strange way, about the new capabilities. And initially we heard about it, they were going to have a nuclear-equipped asset up there that could not... Right. We didn't understand why do you need a nuclear weapon to take down a satellite, but maybe that's not what they're thinking.
Cheese will be next.
Coming up, the biggest grant from the CHIPS and Science Act announced, $1.5 billion to chipmaker Global Foundries. National Economic Council Director Lael Brainard joins us from the North Lawn of the White House.
What we're seeing under CHIPS and Science is announcements that are affecting the workforce and innovation and construction all over the country. So I think this is an ongoing program, so stay tuned.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
This is Squawk Pod from CNBC.
Stand by, Joe. His mic, Q.
Good morning and welcome back to Squawk Box here on CNBC, live from the NASDAQ market site in Times Square. I'm Joe Kernan along with Andrew Ross Sorkin. And Becky is off.
The largest award yet from President Biden's Chips and Science Act, semiconductor company Global Foundries is going to be receiving $1.5 billion to expand and production in New York and Vermont. The company is saying money will help triple capacity over the next 10 years, and the government is is hyping that potential to create thousands of jobs. Joining us right now is Lael Brainard, director of the National Economic Council. Good morning to you. Lael, it's nice to see you. There's a lot to talk about this morning. The CHIPS piece of this is just one part of it. How big a piece of it, and how much do you think this is going to change the dynamic with which we have manufacturing in this country?
You know, we're seeing an incredible surge in factory construction of manufacturing facilities all over the country. And today's announcement under the Chips and Science Act of a $1.5 billion grant that will help to catalyze $12.5 billion in private sector investment, Malta, New York, a new fab, and really important chip production, the kinds of chips that go into cars and led to those massive shortages during the pandemic. That capacity is now moving here in the U.S., but also important for satellite and space kinds of applications that are important to our national security. And of course, a big jobs winner in upstate New York and also in Vermont with 10,000 jobs around Malta, New York.
Well, how long do you think it's going to take to become chip independent? And what do you think chip independent means?
Yeah, so we already have, as you know, an incredible downstream industry here. That means that there are a huge number of designers and companies that use leading edge chips as well as current chip models. And so moving that leading edge production here, moving some of the chips of the type that Global Foundries is uniquely capable in doing will really catalyze the whole ecosystem. We've also got investments in advanced packaging, in innovation. As you know, we just announced a big innovation funding package 2 weeks ago. So the whole ecosystem really is getting an enormous boost from Chips and Science.
Lael, I want to read you a headline from Politico, and this becomes a political problem potentially for the president, depending on how you think about Michigan as a swing state. The headline, Biden has a high-tech problem in Michigan. Biden sold a tax break by pumping up a Michigan microchip supplier. In this case, the company was called Hemlock, then left the company out in the cold. So here you are promoting what's going to happen in New York and Vermont. But this other company, which is in Michigan, a state that I imagine you care deeply about when it comes to the election, has a big, big problem. What do you say to that?
You know, this is the Global Foundries announcement that the White House and Commerce Department, Leader Schumer, have all been working on today. Is the largest announcement, but it is one of many announcements. It's the largest announcement so far, but I expect to see a lot more activity in Chips and Science going forward. So I think, you know, you're going to see a lot of excitement all around the country with some of our upcoming announcements.
What about in Michigan and this company, Hemlock, specifically? This was a company that was cited in a speech that the president gave from the White House South Lawn at one point.
And, as I said, these announcements are ongoing. So I anticipate that we will see additional announcements. And so I'd stay tuned for that. But I think what we're seeing under Chips and Science is announcements that are affecting the workforce and innovation and construction all over the country. So I think this is an ongoing program, so stay tuned.
Well, in terms of the economic forecast, there was a sense almost, and maybe it was too magical, a sense that inflation really was coming down at this rapid, rapid rate. And then recently it feels like that is not what is happening. What do you think is happening?
Yeah, I would say that you have to look at the broader data picture. And if you look at the PCE measure of inflation, which is what the Federal Reserve really tracks, that's been down in the 2% range over the last 6 months, core and headline. So I think it's really important always to step back from an individual data point and look at the data picture. The data picture is strong growth, very strong employment, but inflation trending down, coming down to its pre-pandemic benchmark. So the broader picture, I think, is encouraging. But I'll say one thing, which is we got a lot of work still to do. Some prices are still too high.
Let me ask you about consolidation. There was a big headline this morning, Capital One to merge with Discover Financial. This administration, the Biden administration, has been particularly vocal, if not going to the courts, to block a number of major deals. This would be the largest deal in the financial space in a long time. What are your initial thoughts?
So I can't speak to any particular cases, but what I will say is the president is very committed to restoring competition across the landscape in the United States. For too long, we saw a lot of consolidation, which did not have benefits, but rather came at some cost. And so we've really seen a reinvigoration of the commitment to competition, which levels the playing field for small businesses.
Could you see a moment where a deal creates more competition, which is to say I could make an maybe counterintuitive argument that the consolidation between a Capital One and Discover actually creates a genuine competitor insofar as it was not before to Visa and MasterCard, for example?
You know, I can't, again, I don't want to speak to this particular case, but there are sometimes cases where that can indeed happen. You know, what I would say is that we believe that it's really important to have a diversity of different business models and sizes across the financial services landscape, traditionally have wanted to make sure that that playing field is level, make sure that smaller financial institutions also have a real shot.
Well, it's good to bring manufacturing back, obviously, but do we consider who we actually try to help in terms of subsidies? This Global Foundries, obviously, was wholly owned by the Sovereign Wealth Fund of the UAE until a couple of years ago. I think they're still 85% owners. Is that okay? Is it the best deal we can get to bring the chips here, or is there a way to, I don't know, maybe was there a competing bid from any other totally U.S. Based company? I mean, it's based in the U.S. now, but it's still 85% owned by the Sovereign Wealth Fund of the UAE.
Yeah, so the Commerce Department works along with other agencies to do a very rigorous review across all dimensions. But as you know, national security is central to the CHIPS and Science Act, a really important part of the motivation. So they've taken into account all of those considerations. And I will say that when you look at the case for Global Foundries, it really is across the board. It's really important in terms of creating good middle class jobs in Malta, New York, as well as in Vermont, 10,000 jobs. It's really strong on national security, where the chips that they fabricate are important in areas like satellites and space systems. And of course, critical for items like cars with supplies to General Motors, among others, the very chips that led to all those increases in wait times and price increases during the pandemic, because we were over-reliant on foreign supplies.
Lael, I want to thank you for joining us today. Look forward to seeing you again very, very soon. Thanks.
Thank you.
Coming up on Squawk Pod, Axios co-founder Mike Allen watching two aspects of the 2024 election run-up. For President Biden, it's all about the State of the Union.
A year ago, he really crushed that State of the Union. We saw his vigor. We saw his great reception to that. So over the next 2 weeks, 2 days, you're going to see a buildup to that speech.
And for former President Trump, it's all about the courts.
This is the big debate. Will Trump being seen as a defendant again and again help or hurt him? Plenty of Republicans will tell you it helps. Democrats think that it's a key to sinking him.
From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You're listening to Squawk Pod. Here's Andrew Ross Sorkin.
Let's talk about what President Biden's thinking. President Biden's campaign raising $42 million in January, bringing his war chest to $130 million at the end of last month. It's a record amount for a Democratic candidate at this point in the calendar. Joining us right now is Mike Allen, co-founder of Axios. Good morning to you, Mike.
Good morning.
Let's talk all of this through. Obviously, the president raising an enormous amount of money at the same time that there are increasing questions about whether he should, frankly, remain the candidate.
Yeah, well, here's something that's not speculation in the spirit of the show and is reality. This is a set of numbers where President Biden has the wind at his back. How long has it been since we saw a set of numbers and said, oh, this is great for President Biden? But the money edge is real. So you mentioned in the tease, raised $42 million in January. A couple other numbers for your viewers, $130 million in the bank. But maybe here's the one that matters most. Last year, President Trump and his various political affiliates spent $50 million on legal costs. So at a time when Joe Biden is rolling up the money, the Trump organization has had to spend it on places that are unprecedented for a campaign. And as you say, President Biden today headed out to my native state of California for fundraising in Culver City, and he's going to be in one of the ritziest addresses in America later this week, Los Altos Hills in the Bay Area for a fundraiser.
Mike, can you talk about what I think is an enthusiasm gap, if you will, inside the Democratic Party about President Biden and whether you think that persists? Does that change? I mean, I'm curious. Do you think that another candidate emerges or do you think that's just crazy speculation?
Yes, yes, and no. So there's no question an enthusiasm gap. Any Democrat will tell you that. I can tell you they're hanging their hat on the State of the Union address just over 2 weeks from today, March 7th, as a time to really change that. This is a time that President Biden will own the stage, and you guys will remember that a year ago, he really crushed that State of the Union. We saw his vigor. We saw his great reception to that. So over the next 2 weeks, 2 days, you're going to see a buildup to that speech. You're going to see the president starting to show his face to the country the way he wants to show it for the election 8.5 months from now. Like two really big events that are going to set the table for Election Day, like that State of the Union. It's the biggest thing that President Biden controls by far. The other one that no one controls, a Supreme Court ruling on whether or not the Trump trials go ahead and how quickly those go ahead. I would say those are the two tectonic events between now and the election.
You saw Ezra Klein, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know, Mike, any chance of that? He says that Ezra Klein says at some point President Biden should end his White House bid and go out as a hero and pass the mantle to somebody else. You're hearing that from some places you wouldn't expect to hear it.
Yeah, no. And like if you're the candidate, you don't want to be hearing that. But the Biden campaign strongly believes that between now and November, people are going to see that the economy is benefiting them. Like we hear on the show every day, people aren't feeling that yet. They hope the world will be stable, that people will see that the world would be more stable with Biden is the case that they will make. And to bring us back to the money, one more figure for you, to bring us back to the money at the top, each side, when you count the party committees, count the campaigns, each side will spend roughly $1 billion. So Democrats are going to spend $1 billion, a whole lot of it, not telling us Joe Biden's awesome, telling us that Donald Trump is terrible, will be the Democratic message. And they believe that that's going to carry the day when they get to Election Day.
We've all had relatives that we've seen at that point in life. It's just undeniable. If you look at the president from a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, just watch any tape and then watch just as he exits Air Force One or the helicopter, we're talking about five more years, Mike, and that's undeniable. It's just undeniable. And I think it's putting and the case has been made. Why would he step down? It's one of the greatest jobs to have in terms of prestige and everything else. So he'd want to stay. But I think there does come a time when it's elder abuse and the entire party is telling him, hey, wake up, act like you're spry, act like you're not forgetful. This is all on your shoulders. I think it's elder abuse at this point. And 5 years from now, I think it's going to be mind-blowing what state that you can just see it. It's not about age. It's about the state of a person. And we were talking about Warren Buffett earlier. I mean, people are different. Warren Buffett at 94 versus...
Or look at Speaker Pelosi, right? Like today.
Yeah. Yeah. Think about that. I mean, you can see it, can't you? I 2 years ago, I was watching the other night. It's like, oh, my God. The differences are stark.
Joe, I just gave you the gist of the Biden case. The gist of the Trump case is that all the things that you're saying, the age will not change. Like, what will not change between now and November 5th? The president will not be younger. That's something they don't control. So what do they control? They control how he looks. So that's why in these 2 weeks, this run-up to the State of the Union, I'm told Axios is up with a piece, Biden's reset moment, Biden's big reset.
Let me ask you a money question, a spending question. There's an argument inside the Biden administration that I've heard multiple times, and I'm curious if you've heard it, which is that they're not going to spend all of this money probably until after the convention, meaning they would not begin really going after Trump until something like
they're
September.
Spend it on somebody else.
No. But the idea is that not their view, not enough Americans, partially, by the way, they blame mainstream media for this, are seeing Trump on a day-to-day basis, are seeing the things that he's saying, and that if you could loop all of these things together repeatedly over and over and over again, that the American public would be outraged and the polls would be very different. What do you think of that?
Andrew, as always, your sources are correct, and that fits in with part of the big thinking of the Biden campaign, which is you go up to Wilmington, talk to them, as I have. They'll tell you, we aren't focused on a poll today. We aren't focused on a segment today. What matters to us is the bottom line on November 5th. So it's all building to that. And so you're right. Of course, the spending will be backloaded. That the narrative that you're saying is very important to them. But and they are frustrated.
The thing that I can't figure out about that spending plan, and I don't know which is the better strategy, if the narrative continues at the pace it is, and when you have John Stewart out there saying some of the things that he's been saying about the president, something that the White House cannot be happy about, the question is, do you need to start spending now? And you could argue maybe that's a mistake. But at the same time, if this narrative gets created about his age, Joe saying what he's saying, and maybe it's not going to change the narrative, by the way, about his age.
But, Mike, New York Times today, burned out, some anti-Trumpers are burned out on the outrage. He just can't muster it up again because he's been out of the spotlight, which is what you're saying. And as we hear, this Navalny, this hero dies over in Russia, and he somehow comes back to him. When things like that happen, then the outrage could be back pretty easily.
Yeah.
And you're right.
Yeah.
We haven't seen much of him, and he's not on Twitter. He's on.
But it does require a strategy that's all around Trump outrage. That is true.
Well, in the general, that's what you right. don't want to do it. You want to let him win the primaries if you're
no,
a Democrat.
No, I understand that. Yeah. But Mike, final word to you. Sorry, I know we're supposed to be the questioners, but we became
this is
both,
this is the big
both
debate
questions and answers.
This is the big debate. Will Trump being seen as a defendant again and again, help or hurt him. Plenty of Republicans will tell you it helps. Democrats think that it's a key to sinking him.
Mike Allen, nice to see you, sir. Thank you.
And that is Squawk Pod for today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for starting this short week with us. It'll be Friday before you know it. Squawk Box is hosted by Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin. Tune in weekday mornings on CNBC at 6 Eastern and follow Squawk Pod wherever you get your podcasts. We'll meet you back here tomorrow.
Now we are clear. Thanks, guys.
From a flat tire in the city to a dead battery on a distant drive, AAA is partnering with T-Mobile for Business to accelerate response times and get more drivers back on the road fast. Our nationwide connectivity powers location telematics, so AAA's fleet can find stranded drivers quickly while being fully equipped with the in-vehicle tools to have answers when they get there. This is elevating the member experience. This is AAA with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.